One question of for all of you. When you die, how would you like to be buried? Some people will say, with my spouse. And some people may say, with my parents. Some people may say, I'd like to be cremated, and ashes scattered all around in the park over the sea. Or maybe some of you are thinking, I'm still young. I don't want to talk about this. Yes, some of you may be very young, but we all agree that sooner or later, one day, this question will become relevant to you too. In today's text, we read two passages. They are burial instructions of two persons, Jacob and Joseph. These two are characters in the Bible, later part of the Bible, that we are very familiar. How much do we know about Jacob's life? When I mentioned Jacob, what would your immediate response, what do you think most about Jacob's life? Maybe you think, how many wives Jacob has? Anyone? How many wives Jacob have? Four, right? Leah, Rachel, and then the other two hands, the maids, the concubines. Who is this Jacob's favorite wife? Rachel. When you died, would you like to get buried with your beloved wife, Rachel? Rachel died after giving birth to Benjamin, and she was buried somewhere in Bethlehem. Some of you who been to the Holy Land may remember, if you pass by Bethlehem, there would be one site, it's called Rachel's Tomb. Did Jacob want to be buried with his beloved wife? You would think so. Like Jacob, all his life expressed how, he played favoritism. He always says, I want the Rachel's sons, Joseph and Benjamin, I love the most, I always love, my wife, give me two sons, as if Leah and the other concubines, they are not their wives and their children are not his children. But here, you notice, Jacob did not ask to bury beside his beloved wife, Rachel. He asked rather to be buried with his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, in the field of Machpelah, near Mamre. This is in modern-day Hebron. Why? Because Jacob wants to embrace with his father's faith of God's promise. You see, at the point of his death, he says, I want to be buried with my fathers, who received this land because of God's promise. And then we see that in the following chapter, the last chapter of Genesis, chapter 50, actually, Jacob had his wish fulfilled. Because of the relationship that Joseph had with the Egyptian king, Pharaoh, that Pharaoh honored Jacob and almost gave him a state funeral Chapter 50 talk about how all the high officials, dignitaries of Egypt actually accompany Jacob's body all the way back to his homeland. They mourn for 70 days. Jacob received burial as a king. Then we have Joseph, the next passage. Joseph was highly esteemed in Egypt because Joseph actually saved the country Egypt from famine. You know, it is Joseph who interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, and then in turn, because of the 7 years of great harvest followed by the 7 years of great famine, you know, nothing is produced, but Egypt, out of all nations, are well prepared. So Joseph became highly esteemed. He was made the second in command in Egypt. No, he was highly esteemed. He is practically the savior of Egypt and the world around it. So if Joseph were to be buried in Egypt, no doubt he will receive the highest honor. No, maybe the Pharaoh would build him a pyramid for him. Maybe a statue, right? How many of you like to die and buried and have a statue erected in your name? I would love to. A lot of past heroes, great men and women, wants to be remembered. Yet, Joseph have all this, and yet he gave instructions that, I want to be buried in the land of Canaan, God's promised land. Why? Because he wants to embrace the faith of his fathers. The God of his father is much more important to him than the worldly praise and honor of the world. So what happened to Joseph's bones? Do you know that? He says, descendants says, you know, carry my bones back to my own country. What happened? When does that happen? Was that fulfilled? Mela, do you know? Was that fulfilled? What happened to Joseph Bong? It's a good question. What happened to Joseph Bong? Those of you are in wants to do forensic science. No. What happened to Joseph Bong? Well, Joseph Bong was actually brought back to his homeland after 400 years. You know, because Israelites stay in Egypt actually not just a short period of time. They actually spend 400 years in Egypt until God called Moses to bring them out. And in Exodus chapter 13, verse 19, it's actually mentioned that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. The descendants of Joseph actually remember this promise, and they took Joseph's bone as they leave Exodus back to land of Canaan, brought Joseph's bone. And then later on, when at the time of under the leadership of Joshua, they actually conquered and enter into the promised land. And Joshua 24 talk about, and Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, was buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver than the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. So Joseph actually also had his burial wish fulfilled. So you would think that it appears both Jacob and Joseph's wish have been fulfilled, right? Well, yet, in the New Testament, book of Hebrew, the author of Hebrew actually said, no, they are not fulfilled. Book of Hebrew, chapter 11, is the chapter of faith of the fathers. It mentioned about the faith of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and also Joseph. It also all mentioned of these heroes of faith. And at the conclusion of that chapter, the author says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. The author of Hebrew actually said, these, our ancestors, actually have their faith partly fulfilled. The greater part is still to come. The best is yet to come. He says, and the best is only fulfilled together with all the saints, all God's people. So what is this better part that they are waiting for? How do Jacob and Joseph's final reward have anything to do with us? Well, we have to recall the big picture. Let's go, like for the past year, we have been looking at the messages, the book of Genesis. Let's look at the big picture, Genesis. How does Genesis begin? Genesis begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the first chapter, what is the repeating words in chapter 1 through this creation? Very good. It says, very good, cow. Very good. God saw what he created, and it says, declare very good. So it was beautiful. And yet, what is the last chapter, Genesis 50, ends with? What is the last words in Genesis? You'll be surprised to see that. The last phrase in Genesis, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. What it started off is a beautiful heaven and earth, good, end up with a coffin in Egypt. What a big contrast. Why? What happened in between chapter 1 and chapter 50? What happened? It's a beautiful creation, beautiful Garden of Eden, and yet ends with a coven staying in Egypt. Well, when you look at the big pictures, you know a lot have happened in Genesis, these 50 chapters. Well, originally it's a beautiful. In the Garden of Eden, everything was good. Adam and Eve was in great harmony with God. And then sin occurs. Adam and Eve did not obey God, and sin entered into this world, and what we call the fall. And then other chapters, the fall is actually lower and lower. People hiding their face from God. And then it ends up with violence, murder, and everything. And the Bible talks about, and all men, all humans' thinking was evil. And then God said, I have to destroy the entire race. So that's the flood. And then after that, God saved a family, Noah. And then later on, people, population become more prosperous. They scattered, right? Scattered. Tower of Babel, they scattered all over the place. And then out of all the people, God called one person, Abraham. Why did God call this person Abraham? This out of Abraham, he's going to carry out his salvation plan. So in other words, Genesis is always talk about, since the fall, God is have a plan to save his people back, to restore humanity back to him. And then later on, out of Abraham becomes into a tribe, and out of the tribe, later on in Exodus, this tribe becomes a nation. And this nation, this person, and his seed, his descendant, is supposed to bless all nations. So this is what happened in Genesis. The Bible is God's salvation plan. It's revealing us. And then at the end of Genesis, talk about Joseph died at the age of 110, and after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Imagine a coffin in Egypt lying there. It is have great meaning. The symbolism of this coffin have great meaning. Because it is a coffin that is not buried. Joseph's instruction is to take my bones, ready to go. So the Bible never said that this coffin was buried in the ground. As far as I'm concerned, it is still just lying there, waiting to be carried away. And I think this symbolism is applicable for our entire humanity. First of all, a coffin symbolizes death, right? What do you see when you see a coffin? You see death. And death is for every one of us. The latest statistics of the mortality rate of humanity is 100%. There's no difference, you know. I don't care how long you live, how young you are. I would say you will die, you know. And I can say this very confidently. Everybody. Hebrews said this, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. This covenant represents death. But an unburied covenant symbolizes there is a waiting hope. Joseph's bones being inside the coffin, ready to go, symbolize that there is waiting. There's a hope that is waiting. And it's symbolized that entire humanity, we have a hope. Death does not have the last word. there is always hope. This waiting hope is revealed fully by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, it reveals who our Lord Jesus of this hope for an entire humanity. You see, God's salvation plan is our hope. And this hope was brought, revealed to us at the right time 2,000 years ago through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, he says, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I just said earlier, everyone, the covenant represents everyone would face death, no exception. But through Jesus, he is our Savior, who has destroyed death. And then out of this action, show us he brought us life and immortality through the gospel. And that's the gospel. It's Jesus can have defeated death and offer us this waiting hope, this hope of immortality and life. Although Jesus' death and resurrection is unique in human history, that's only one occurrence. Resurrection from death is not a new idea in the Bible, especially not in the Old Testament. The Old Testament actually have many verses anticipate the resurrection of the dead. Can you remember any verses that the Old Testament talk about resurrection of the dead or resurrection of the body or the dead body? Well, if you can think of one, that's good. But there are actually a lot. Okay? So if you want to take a picture and check it out later, you're welcome. All these talk about somehow is dead resurrected. It's an anticipation. Talk about death being resurrected. Genesis 50, verses 25, Joseph said, God will surely come to your aid. God will surely come to your aid. Joseph told his descendants, God will surely come to your aid. Joseph's hope is God will help his people. God already prophesied that the Israelites staying in Egypt will become a great nation, but eventually they'll be enslaved. They will be treated harshly in this land. But God will save them. Joseph encouraged them. Throughout history, God intervenes to save his people. The entire book of Genesis given living example of that. To each generation, God reveals his sovereign will and the hope of deliverance. God reveals to Abraham that Israel will become slaves in Egypt, and to Joseph, the promise of rescue. God will come to your aid. A fuller intervention of God's aid comes in the birth of Jesus Christ. God will save humanity, and this is fully revealed in the birth of Jesus. Do you remember what the name Jesus means? What does the name Jesus mean? God saves. Yeshua. Yeshua. Yah is the Lord. Sure saves. Jesus is a full revelation that God saved. Out of Genesis, God's plan is revealed through Jesus. God saves. Yeshua. Genesis ends with an unburied coffin waiting for the exodus from Egypt. You know what the New Testament ends with? New Testament ends with the expectation of Jesus coming from heaven, when all believers will experience their final exodus from death to meet with our Lord. Book of Genesis ends with this coven, just standing there. And New Testament, at the very end, says, Lord, come, O Lord. This fuller promise will come. He who testified to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon. Jesus himself says, yes, I'm coming soon. And then we respond, amen, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. This is our waiting hope. This is our living hope. Let us pray. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, every one of us in this room will face death sooner or later. Yet we thank you because death does not have the last word, because you have conquered death and you will bring life, immortality to all of us who are in you. Thank you, Lord. So let us live today to reflect of this beautiful hope, and let us, our life, be a blessing to the many people who are still in darkness. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.